Okay, Rebbe, let's sing a few good Purim Nigunim.
Yes.
Let's sing. Okay, this is one of my favorite Reb Shlomo Nigunim for Purim. We are going to Be'ezer Hashem wipe out all this evil. There was a Torah that says like, we say Chuasa Meisa Lanetzach V'Sigvasam B'Chol Dor V'Dor, and that you are our salvation. Lanetzach, you're always gonna, you know, we're always gonna win. V'Sigvasam B'Chol Dor V'Dor, and you are our hope for every single generation. So remember the Torah, we learned this so many times in the Baba V'Rebbe. He said that we had amazing people that knew how to win in different generations. Like, we had great warriors that knew how to really, they knew the art and sophistication of war. Amazing top, you know, generals. But if someone that was like such a top general in like the 17th century came today and said, listen, you know, I know how to do it, just give me a sword. So you say to him, you know, that's beautiful, it's cute and sweet, but it's that's not going to work today. So the Baba V'Rebbe said that v'sikvasam b'chol dor v'dor, every generation, there's new weapons in every single generation. And every generation has new minds that understand how to utilize, how to use the new weapons of every single dor. It's even to say that there's even Torahs, that every Torah is a lifesaver. But there's Torahs, there's a certain way of living Torah in this generation that is the only way to win the war. It may have won wars in previous years. There may have been a certain way of learning and living Torah in previous years that won the battles of those times. But the whole thing of today is that the way you learn and live the Torah of today cannot be the same as the life-saving Torah of previous generations, but that's okay. Because v'sikvasam b'chol dor v'dor, every generation has it. Every generation has something different. So on Purim, this Torah comes down to us of what is the Torah of today that I have to live, that I have to become a top person in that ma'aracha. And we're learning it from our chayalim. I mean, we're learning, they're giving it to us right now. Our holy soldiers are giving over to us a new Torah that never existed before. Never was before. And Purim is the day of grabbing onto this Chuasa Ma'isa Lanetzach V'Sikvasam B'Chol Dor V'Dor. This Nigun Reb Shlomo wrote in the middle of Purim Suda in 1976. And I was telling the Chevra last night, he was already half there when this Nigun came down. So it's like, well, it's really coming from another place, this Nigun. Sing it one more time. I chuva sam hai salamensa. Chuva sam hai salamensa. Chuva sam hai salamensa. Chuva sam hai salamensa. I besing vasa bechol darbanda. I besing vasa bechol darbanda. Besing vasa. So, it's true every year. It's true. I think it's so much more true. I'm sharing it personally that I'm very, very nervous about Purim. I'm very, very nervous about Purim. I'm not nervous about what's going to come out of the mouth. That's not the things that I'm nervous about. But it's almost like this. If there's 2 days of year that I'm most nervous, then I'm gonna miss out on what the day's about. I think it's pretty safe to say that there's 2 days in the year that we're really most nervous to like miss the whole Inyan. Purim and Yom Kippur. Purim and Yom Kippur. Not Stam, obviously. All the half the Torahs and the Chassidus Sfarim are the comparisons between Yom Kippur and Purim. On Yom Kippur, what am I nervous about? Tachlis, if I'm being an emes dikir, as much as I have all the Torahs of Hashem loves me, and it's all going to be good. You know, I'm nervous that the kapar, like my coming close to Hashem, my tshuva, really, it could have been so much deeper. Like I missed out on what the real inyan of Hashem saying salachti kidvarecha is. And I have a nerve, I have a chashash, I have some kind of fear that I'm just, you know, Yom Kippur was good. I get too stuck on, like, did Hashem really forgive me or not? Is this year going to be any different? And I hope for the best. Purim's even more terrifying. Mehmet, when you learn the Torahs of Reb Shlomo on Purim, it becomes the most Musar Dika day of the year. Because when you know what's available, and then you don't have that framework in your life, and you don't go for it, it's mamash terrifying. And when you learn the Torahs of Purim, mamash, the Torah of Purim is a Torah of that you can't imagine not doing whatever you can and to really get into the right headspace and hachana-wise to make sure that you don't miss out on what Purim is all about. You don't miss out on this day. Why? Because there's an Ur, Lehudi Maisa Ura, there's an Ur that comes down on Purim that does not come down on any other day of the year. V'sikvasam b'chol dor v'dor. There's hope in every generation that there'll be enough Yidden that have enough guts to go for Purim for the deepest depths. So Baruch Hashem, I just want to remind some of the Chevre, some of the new Chevre, maybe haven't been here, but you know, we do our best here to have the deepest and highest Purim. Highest Purim. Also for the children, what we do in Motzei, and this year Motzei Shabbos, and the Tish that we do at night has been really, really chazak the last few years. In general, every year, just because we're doing shiputzim in our house, so this year, our own seuda is going to be, we're eating upstairs in the social hall. From 4 o'clock and on, it's open to everyone, like it is every year when everyone, when the chevra come over. And it goes, one time I was sitting with Rav Shlomi Newman at about 11 p.m., sitting, that's at the same seat at the seuda, giving over Torahs, demanding him to reveal himself. It was a whole interesting thing. It was an amazing moment. It was so beautiful. It was gewalt. But just because it's not that, oh, the party's here. Yeah, the party's here, but the party of what, right? And tomorrow night, we're going to do a whole shiur for the community about Manishtana Purim Azem, Mikola Purims. Because this year, Purim cannot be the same. Le'echol yot, it can't be the same. That's tomorrow night here, about 8:30. There's a shiur every year before Purim, before Pesach, I do a shiur for the Keila. So there's a lot in the air. There's a lot to make sure that we don't miss out on. But there's a Torah today that I wanted to do with everyone to explain to us what is this, you know, what is this energy that we're speaking about? What is coming down on Purim? This is one of the most gorgeous, gorgeous Torahs from Reb Shlomo on Purim that we may have seen a little bit over the years. I'm sorry if there's not enough. It's a bit more chaver than I thought today. But some could share. You could just listen, really. Now, I'll just tell you one thing that's very important. As you see, the topic of this Torah is the holiday of Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life. Tree of knowledge means that if I keep on reading, and I read the whole thing that I think I understand it, you already kicked yourself out of Purim, you have no shaykhis to Purim, you're probably much more kashur to a hopeful Yom Kippur, if it's a matter of understanding something or not. Every line here is meduyak k'moshe lo yuman. Every single sentence here has a mahalach. So let's go shlav by shlav to understand where are we heading towards, and how could this Purim bring down for us in our personal lives a Yeshua that we need so badly. So you know, all of Reb Shlomo's Torahs, the whole, you could really break it down to one thing: fixing of the tree of knowledge. Like that's all his Torahs at the end of the day. Fixing of the tree of knowledge. No, you would say so, right? Nathan's been working on these Torahs for so long already. Like, it really comes down to it. Fixing of the tree of knowledge. Eitz Adas Tov V'ra. Eitz Adas Tov V'ra. And we're asking you, Hashem, Eitz Chaim Hi L'machzikima. We want to go to the tree of knowledge. We want to go to the tree of life, Slicha. It's already in the air, you see? So let's start. Purim, the holiday of Eitz HaChaim. If by nature I hate everyone, how do I get myself out of it? You can explain to me that it's very bad and that it's evil to hate people, but it doesn't get me out of it if this is just my nature, right? That's why this is just my nature. And my lasot, that's who I am. You could tell me all day long that it's wrong. That's not going to get me out of it. If that's my nature, that's what it is. Telling me that it's bad, smokers that are told that it's not healthy don't stop smoking. Something else happens to them that gets them out of it. But imagine if by nature I love everyone, so do you have to come and tell me that hatred is evil? If I don't smoke, so do I have to come and tell you, you know that smoking is, you don't have to tell me. My nature is not there. My nature, my teva, is in a different place. I can't hate anybody if my nature is in, that I love everyone. Even if I tried, I can't. If by nature I want to be a giver, do you have to tell me that being stingy is evil? I don't need that Torah, you understand? I don't need to be told that something is bad or good if naturally I'm aligned in the right place, right? Like if by nature I'm so drawn to Eretz Yisrael, do you have to tell me that living a life in Golis is bad? No. If by nature I am just madly in love with my Yiddishkeit that's set up for me in Chutz La'aretz, for whatever reason it is, then do you think that by telling me that it's actually much better to live in Eretz Yisrael, that'll do anything? Not really. That's not that. That doesn't really do it. I want you to understand something. He's giving over to us the deepest depths of the Zohar HaKadosh and all the Chassidus Sfarim in a language that we could digest. So even though it sounds sometimes very cute and sweet, and this is the pnimius of what all the tzaddikim were giving over to us. When do you need the whole teaching of good and evil? Only if your nature is separated from God. That's when I need the Torah of this is good and this is bad. But if by my very nature I'm connected to everything holy and beautiful, you don't need the whole teaching of good and evil. Okay, whose Torah is this? Does anyone have any idea whose world of Torah was this last paragraph? What does this sound like to anybody? There's a concept in Ishbitz. And the Ishbitzer says that when a person has binas halev, that means the wisdom of the heart, which means basically my nature being one with Ratzon HaBayre, he got himself into so much trouble saying that a person basically doesn't really need the klalim, the laws that tell me good and bad, right and wrong. It's not exactly what he meant, because he wouldn't change in iota of halacha. But what he's really saying is that, is this Torah? When do I need the Torah of this is good, this is bad? If my nature is not in the right place, if my nature is separated from the Ribono Shel Olam, then I need the Torah of zetov, zelotov, zekasher, zepasul. But if I'm plugged in naturally to the Ribono Shel Olam, if my nature is one with God, it's not disconnected, why do I need that Torah? Like he said in the beginning, if by nature I love everybody, why do you have to tell me that hating is evil? If by nature my heart knows without a shadow of a doubt that Eretz Yisrael is waiting for all of Am Yisrael to come home, I don't have to go to Nefesh B'Nefesh seminars to understand that to be the truth. I know it. I'm so connected to it in my nature. When do I need the Torah of good and evil, tov v'ra, etz hadas? Only when my nature is not connected and aligned in the right way to the Ratzon of Hashem, to the beauty, to the majestic beauty of being in love with the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay? Let's go right there.
In your quoting of Rav Shlomo and the term nature, is he suggesting that that's minu rav, that's the nature, or that we haven't that we're developing our nature? Because there's a bit of a stereo.
Every person is born, even though we have midos, like the Gemara speaks about. Some chever, there's a midah of kas. They didn't really develop it. It's just, it's kind of in their blood, right? For whatever.
So this
whatever.
Is what you're born with certain midos.
Yeah.
The teva.
But each person, in their nature, if they were connected to it, we believe that they wouldn't really need all the Torahs of good and, you know, yes and no, bad and good. Because if we're chelek eloka mimal mamish, that chelek eloka doesn't need Torahs of good or bad. Chelek eloka mimal.
Times, though, where you're more tapped into that, and times that you're a little bit less tapped into that, and when you're really, like, in the flow.
For sure.
You're sort of there. It's not like you're born with this nature, you're just born at tzaddik. Sometimes you can be tzaddik, and sometimes you can be a little
Well, not according to the Tanya, but I hear what you're saying. But yes, yes, 100%.
Not according to the Tanya, but yes. What is the,
because it's just symmetry, it's just language, what you're saying. Because according to the Tanya, you can't, not everyone can become a tzaddik, that's why. But for the sake of the shir, it's not about becoming a tzaddik, it's just about being naturally. But you know, it's good you're bringing up the Tanya. Because in the Tanya, there's the Lashon. No, it's actually...
You brought it up.
Good Purim.
It's good that he got you to bring
it's
up
It's good you got me to bring up the Tanya.
So smooth.
That was smooth, yeah. Well, you all know this, because all the chevre you're learning Tanya. There's a concept called Ishafcha and Iskafia. Iskafia is the state of being where I have to force and coerce my evil inclination over and over and over again. Until I reach a place, hopefully, that it's Ishapcha, which means I don't have to force, it changes. That nature, that natural taiva actually changes. It actually changes. It switches over. So let's plug that into here right now. That each of us has a nekuda be'emet deep down inside, that if we were just connected to our natural being in this world, we wouldn't need any iskafia, and we wouldn't need any ishapcha either. You wouldn't need any of that. Because those things are only relevant when I'm in the world that's trying to do good versus bad, to decipher between evil and holy. We're aiming towards a world that's much deeper than that, knowing the difference between right and wrong and working on it. Okay, I want to go forward. The snake came and said to Eve that the most godlike thing is to know what's good and what's evil. It starts already over there. Chava was told by the snake that what? You want to be like God? You know, God is the ultimate knowing the difference between good and evil. This is only after the snake poisoned her and separated her from the tree of life. If you're connected to the tree of life, you don't need the teaching of good and evil. And I want you to think about it in a very deep way. The Gemara says, Haman min ha-Torah minayin. Everyone knows this Torah and Purim. Where is Haman mentioned in the Torah? When God asked Adam, did you eat from the forbidden fruit? God says, Hamin ha-Eitz, asher tzivisicha. So the Gemara says, the word Hamin, did you eat from the tree, is the same letters as Haman. So Amalek, Haman, Purim, the whole Avodah Purim is all what? You see what it is? Haman is a snake, as simple as it is. Listen, I hope we don't need the Torahs that speak about the need to physically wipe out Amalek from the world this year. Some chevers still do. I don't think we need to darshan that in here, that we're surrounded by plenty of Amalekites that mamish need to be wiped off the face of the earth. Amen. Fast. Amen. And none of them should harm any of us. Bezrat Hashem Yitbarach. We don't need those Torahs right now. What we do have to see the Torah, though, is we're infiltrated in my mind this year on a certain level. Haman is the snake, as simple as it is. So if I have to be busy on understanding what the Avodah of Purim is, which really begins Shabbos Zachar, of Timcha Zecha Amalek Mitachat HaShemayim, I have to understand what my Avodah is right now. The Avodah is that I think that the more knowledge that I attain, I'm more like God, but sometimes the more knowledge that I attain brings me even further from God, because I don't think that I need a God if I know so well what he wants me to do. You hear that? Mm-hmm. That is Haman. That's the snake. That's what he told Chava. You can be like God if you attach yourself to which tree? Tree of knowledge. That's Haman slash Chava, what Chava heard from the Nachash. That's exactly what she heard. Meaning, the more you attach yourself to this world of knowledge, of knowing what's right versus what's wrong, the more godlike you'll be. But really, that's code word for the less God you need. That's really what it is. The more God you could be is actually code word for the less Hashem you actually need in your life.
The more you acquire
knowledge. Bidiyuk.
You're living in a door that is clearly the Google door, where knowledge is so available to everybody, people form their own narratives as a result.
And the craziest thing is that on the back of the phone, which you pointed out to me one time, if you look at the Apple, it's a bit an Apple.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
That's why you should go with Android.
Symbolism.
Now that's happening all year long. This Torah is happening all year long. You know, I have to mention a modern day mamash, evil conniving witch. Okay, I got sucked into her drushes, and it is mamish the Eitz Hadas Lo Yuman. Candace Owens. No, but there's a Torah there. You have to listen. If you listen to how she builds up the Amalekite, it's all mamish a binyan of Eitz Hadas. It's all a binyan of Eitz Hadas. It's all kilu using terminology that is making a young generation feel so knowledgeable and articulate and sophisticated. She is evil b'mahusa. It is the most conniving sound I've heard in years. Conniving. It's an evil that's mamish right there.
You feel like it's intentional?
What's that?
Yesterday, she's trying to come to Israel.
I saw that. She's a machshefa, and she has easy... She has easy, you know, targets also that it's mamash, and the way that she is bringing, it's all a binyan of Eitz. It's mamash snake talk. It's snake talk, and it's convincing, and it's Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra at its best, at its
the highest. The reason it's best because she says a lot of really true, inspiring things, and then she infuses that.
Now, we're going to see exactly what Ari just said, what Ari just pointed out. We're going to see that within this Torah. Evil itself, real evil, is not evil that looks like an idiot and like a schlepper and like a meshugana. That's not real evil. That's just idiots. Real evil is a mashu acher legamre. Real evil comes, and with the wording of real evil, which is sucking its life from Eitz Hadas, sounds like something that you really, really have no idea at a certain point what in the world is truth, what's not truth, your nature. It rips you away from your nature. It rips you away from your nature in such a mortifying way. And you don't even realize it by the time you're sucked into it. But it's mamish sheker of this door, like no one's business. And the emes is that it is so perfect in time that her voice is now, she's like becoming even more than ever right now, a trend, Erev Yontev of Purim. It's an unbelievable thing. No, it's unbelievable. In the last 3 weeks, her voice has become louder than she's ever been before. And the manipulation and conniving evil way that her words, and I'm listening carefully to what she says and how she says, because I want to understand the young, confused daughter. I want to understand how someone can get so confused. Such beautiful people can get so confused and sucked into such darkness. She's mamish standing at the head, and Aaron, good chaver, Binyamin Aaron's going to have to do some business really soon. Binyamin Aaron's going to have to make some very, very important decisions that also push him to realize that he's also the king of Das, but at a certain point he has to choose Eitz HaChaim as well. Ben Shapiro. Now, I'll take all this. Don't get caught on this stuff now and start. I'm saying all this bechavana atzuma to get into the pnimius of this piece. Once a year, we go back to the tree of life, and this is on Purim. On Yom Kippur, we didn't make it back yet. Now, that's a hard thing to hear, and don't ever learn these Torahs Erev Yom Kippur. None of the Torahs on Purim, none of the Torahs on Purim, don't ever learn Erev Yom Kippur. But I want you to know something. I think I said it here a few years ago. One year, I was chazen, a few years, I was chazen, and I really, before here, Bina and I, we went into Yerushalayim, we led the davening in Mayanot by Rav Shlomi Gestetner. Amazing, amazing moments. It was, Yeshua, you were there, right?
Yeah.
It was really, really, I had to learn a whole different nusach. There's no Ve'esayu Kol. There's a lot of things that are different, but it was really a schus. One year, an Leil Yom Kippur, in walks someone with Reb Shlomo's Zefer Good Purim into the shul, and it actually was, and he was smiling, shining like as if it was Purim, and you know what? It was actually the deepest. I didn't open the Sefer because again the Torah's there. These Torah's you do not learn Erev Yom Kippur. It's different Torah's there. By the way, you know who that person was that walked into the shul with Good Purim? It was Yitzchak Meir Malik. He walked in like that with the Good Purim. On Yom Kippur, I'm still in the tree of knowledge, and I'm sorry I did wrong. I know the teaching of right and wrong, of good and evil, but I just didn't listen to the teaching, and I'm sorry. And hopefully Hashem forgives me, yeah? That's Yom Kippur. That's what's so hard to digest, that Yom Kippur is ki'ilu still in the world of Eitz Hadas. Because it's all based on I did wrong, I hope I do better, and salachti. But on Purim, I'm getting out of the whole thing. Now listen to something very important. And this goes back to our definition of evil before. Evil doesn't mind if from time to time you are good and holy. Evil's broad-minded. Evil simply doesn't want things to be for always. Like evil doesn't mind when Candace speaks, she'll put in there words that are mixed up in there that mamash could mess, could like a ping pong match with your head. With all the world of sophistication. Wait, she said, wait, back, forth, back and forth. It's not clear clear evil. He says the real evil is broad-minded, right? Evil doesn't mind if occasionally you start to daven stronger, pick up a safer here and there. Evil doesn't care about that. What does evil care about? You think evil minds if once a year you say to your wife, today let's not get angry, darling, let's have a little honeymoon? No, it doesn't bother evil. That's okay. Evil doesn't mind when my child wants to go to Israel and asks if he can go for a week. But do you know what evil does not want? Evil does not want that you connect to the tree of life to become your very nature, to become that which you know. Do you know what would happen in the Olam HaTorah if people became what they knew? Do you know how deep this line is? To become what you know? To become what you know. That's how you to become what you. That is the greatest threat to the snake. That's the greatest threat to evil. To become what you know. To work on it here and there. Povishama zilabaya. He gives you off. It's fine. To become it? No. There's much. To be it? No. Evil wants you to be a dead holy man. Did you hear these words? Evil wants you to be a dead holy man. What does that mean?
Spiritually dead? Or somebody with unrealized potential.
Either. You know what? Be a martyr. Be a dead holy man here. Honestly, I think it can mean either way.
Just don't tap into it.
Just
about holiness, but doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I know about holiness. I could give you over. You're learning kochum. I could give it over to you in a million ways. But if I think that knowing that shear and not becoming that shear is the point of that shear, I'm sorry, evil is smiling during the whole chabura. That's not just true about kochim, but every shear that we do here, anything, lam shaneh mazen, doesn't matter. To become it, no. He wants me to be a dead holy man. Evil wants you to do the right thing because it's good, not because it's alive. What a line. He's okay with you being from. He's okay with you even doing good things in the world. Why? Because the mind says this is the right thing to do. But if you're doing it from a place that it makes you feel alive, at that moment, it's got to come and kill you. It's got to come and ruin your life. That moment, that's what evil can't stand. The moment you start living Yiddishkeit of Eitz HaChayim, you're out. He can't stomach it. So it probably means that our Sonei Yisrael that are getting, I don't know, it's like this, there's never been a bigger fan club of fan club Sonny Israel. Then on our door, there never was something like this. It was always there. It was just hush hush. But now, it's just never been like this. It must be, and we have to believe this, Be'emunah Shlema, that it's because we always say, like the Alter Rebbe says, Zeh le'uma zeh, nefesh elokis, nefesh bahamis. A lot of Alter Rebbe going on right now, Baruch Hashem. It must be that because we're so much closer deep inside, that the heart of Am Yisrael is waking up and doing the right thing, not because it's right versus wrong, but because this is what life is all about, that the other side is coming at us like never before. Has to be. Otherwise, we can't relate to any of this. It must be in the Pnimius Nishmas Am Yisrael that there is an awakening that wants to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam and knows that all the attaining of knowledge may be important, but when it becomes paralyzing and it prevents me from living it and being it, there's a door that says, Lo Echpat Li Mizeh. And I'm telling you all here right now, I am not impressed with anyone today that can show me how much knowledge they have. Nothing. Not today's door. You come give a shiur and show me how much knowledge you've attained. Ze lo oselik lahefech. It just makes me worried that you're not in touch with what this door needs today. There's more knowledge than we ever had before. And there's more bilbul than there ever had before. Which clearly means that it could be the holiest teachings in the world. But if they're coming from Eitz Adas, which differentiates between Tov and Ra, then the Nachash is still smiling. Because the Nachash knows when I get out of that and I go to Eitz HaChaim, they have nothing on me. So even with all, that's why we've had these discussions for a while already with the Chevra from the stuff we've been speaking about, with all the important hasbara that's out there. How do you say hasbara in English?
Advocacy.
The advocacy, all of that, that's also aiming itself towards speaking about Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael from a place of Eitz Hadas, it doesn't do it. The advocacy has got to come from a place of speaking words from Eitz HaChaim that'll send rays of life to confused Yidden that are looking for something else to get realigned based on their nature, because they've gotten, especially after seeing this Machshefa speak the last few weeks, Mamesh Machshefa. The danger, the bilbo that so many of the youth, and like I'm thinking about it more and more, we're here, we're in Efrat, we're in Eretz Yisrael, the millions of Yidlach that have their neshamas, if you could hear it, they're screaming and crying, get me out of here. I can't get out of here on my own. I'm not talking about Eretz Golus. I'm talking about here. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. So on Purim, I hear it, and on Purim, I decide. I'm. That's it. The way I'm living, the way I'm thinking, the way I'm speaking, is I'm getting out of that as well. So that Revach V'Atzalah can actually come from us. So on Purim, look at this next paragraph. So on Purim, something happens to us. Hadar kiblu b'mei Chashverosh. We received the Torah again. The Gemara says, Hadar kiblu b'mei Chashverosh. We received the Torah again. And everyone asks, what does that mean? We received the Torah again. But this time, it mamish becomes our very nature. Meaning, the first time when I received the Torah on Har Sinai, also don't learn this Torah before Shavuos. Also, it's really, no, it's not good. These are Torahs only for the week of Purim. It's only for the week of Purim. Although Reb Leibish, you know, he teaches Purim all year long. He gives a shiur on Purim all year long. So what happens? What does it mean when we say that we receive the Torah again? Hashem gave us the Torah again? I don't know. Did you hear of any public? Did Mordechai go on to any mountain? Did Esther meet the Ribbono Shel Olam by a well or something? And there was Luchos, Shlishios or something? What's going on? So just L'chovet, my second daughter's birthday. Ora is turning 13. The truth is, she's already 13, but she's 12 and because of the Ibra year. She's already, you know. But her birthday, her 13th birthday is this week. At Mazdav. And you know, we named her Ora for a number of reasons, but one of the main ones that we fell in love with was the following Torah from the Sfasemes. It says, in the Torah, it says, Layhudim haisa Ora v'simcha v'sasam v'ikar. We say that in the Megillah, right? So Layhudim haisa, each one of those things, Chazal say, like, this is this. So Layhudim haisa Ora, what's Ora? Torah. What's yikar? Tefillin. Whatever. It's not for now. Ora zu Torah. Sfasami says, I don't understand. They only in the time of Shushan they got Torah? We already got it at Har Sinai. What do you mean now we have the Torah? He says, they got the Torah at Har Sinai, but the Torah didn't become Oira until Purim. The Torah was like heavy, sophistication, laws, Eitz Hadas, heavy stuff. It became Eitz Ora Zotorah. The Torah became light itself after we experienced what we went through on Purim. Then, that's the Hadar Kiblua. That's the coming back and receiving the Torah again, because this time it became our very nature. The Torah became our very nature, and our very nature is so infinitely deeper than knowing what's right versus what's wrong. That's the last one, Bidiuk. On Purim, and how does he base this, what he said right now? Because on Purim, everything remained within the borders of nature. The whole story of the Megillah is an ordinary story. No earth-shaking miracle happened. Purim's an ordinary day. You eat, you drink, you sleep. But do you know what happens to you on Purim? Purim is that Yiddishkeit, that God, that everything holy becomes natural to you. Wouldn't you do anything in the world? That Kedusha is something that becomes my very nature, and not something I have to kill myself over day and night. The wars that I go through in my mind about my self-perception, or I should say, my self-persecution, which happens on a daily basis. Wouldn't it be the highest thing in the world that one day where there's no Amalek, Amalek is not there. So if Amalek's not there, there's no voice that says, you know, if you were really holding, no, I'm out of it. I get out of it. And by the way, if that's my Mahalach of Purim, do you know how high the drinking is? The drinking is the highest thing in the world. And Gevalt do we drink here. But to there, to that place, to the place we're speaking about, to this Nekuda that we're speaking about, is all the Kavanas, everything that, everything holy becomes natural to me. What a world that would be. Well, that world exists. It's one day a year. It's called Purim. Do you know why I always need my mind? This is amazing. Because I don't always want to do the right thing. I don't want to always do the right thing, the holy thing. So therefore, I need my mind to tell me that I have to do it because it's good. My mind has to constantly remind me, do the right thing. Whose slogan was that?
Spike Lee.
Another one. Sorry. Do the right thing, right? That's what I need my mind for. That's what I need my mind for. To tell me to do the right thing. That's what I need. The das. To tell me all the time, don't do this, it's bad. Oh, thank you for reminding me. But if by my very nature wants to do good, I don't need my mind. Adelo yada. If my very nature wants to do good, what do I need my mind for? You understand what he's saying over here? What do I need the brain that tells me good versus bad, evil versus, if by my very nature I want to be holy and I am holy? What do I need the seichel for? What do I need the intellect for? If I don't have to occupy my mind with good and evil, gevalt, what I could use my mind for. Gevalt is my mind ready for the highest, and this is the real receiving of Torah on Purim, meaning, if right now in our brains, how much of our brains do we use? Pachot yoter. I know what you're going to say. Because you've said before, like 0.3%, but generally, how much do we use?
110%.
Yeah, whatever, different studies, 7 to 10%, mashkazeh. And from that 7 to 10% of my usage, the 100% of that capacity, how much is it used for through the Torah of Eitz Hadas in this world? The mind. Rov rubo. Can you imagine if we lived a life that the brain, the intellectual functioning of my being, was actually being used for something other than Eitz Hadas? Like we don't even know what it would be used for. What would you use your mind for? What would you need your mind for?
But isn't the mind supposed to be used for Eitz Hadas and the heart used for Eitz Chaim? So it's a shilu between the two, but the mind is
saying, yes, but instead of the heart applying the mind applies the heart, meaning the mind is saying, how do I apply the love from the Yetzer Chaim in my heart?
That's the way it's addressed, right. I'm saying like this, think about it. There's two types of Torah in the world. There's the Torah, Bemet, of Eitz HaChaim, which we obviously, there's no other way that we could know how to do anything in this world. But then there's also Torah of that's Eitz HaDas, Licha. Then there's Torah of Eitz HaChaim. What is the learning of Eitz HaChaim? What happens to my mind when I'm learning Chassidus? When I'm learning Pnimiyus HaTorah? Am I using it to know more what I should or shouldn't do, or what he says or what she says?
It goes from logic to hergesh.
It goes from even from hergesh to being. It goes, like he said in the beginning, it goes, I am it. I use my mind to be, to live it, alive. You know, one time, Rav Weinberger was in Chicago, Parshas Vayechi, and a soundbite went out from that shmooze. And he was just, the way he said L'chaim, like, how could it be, if you've seen videos of the Fabrengans of the Rebbe, that he, you know, when he would hold the cup and he'd look at each person, and he'd look into their eyes and he'd say the word L'chaim. I guarantee you, the chassid, any chassid will tell you that the amount of life that was infused into him when the tzaddik looked at him and said L'chaim is infinitely greater than all the Torah he could have ever learned from the Rebbe. That's just the way it is. I had this once in my life, no, twice in my life, that the Amshin of Rebbe looked in my eyes and said to me, L'chaim toivim u'lesholem. And everything about life has been different since then. I don't live like that because it's because of me. Not trying to portray a Nebuch. I'm just saying, because I'm in this, you know, I wish bad enough it would happen, but What was given over at that moment? It was given over a purification of the mind to be, to actually be it, the moach. To not just use it to say right and wrong, but that the mind itself to be used to determine how I live, how I am, who I am. It's a different world. He's going to explain it a little bit better right now. You know what's so heartbreaking? When you utilize God's teachings just for good and evil, that's the most degrading thing in the world. The most. Do you internalize that sentence? Does anyone understand what he just said over here? That it's degrading to only use God's word, to utilize God's teachings just for good and evil. That's the most degrading thing in the world. What do you think that means?
Using your learning to try to rationalize as opposed to just being, like he said earlier, to become your very nature. We already are this.
Nechon. That's on the outside. I want to even go deeper.
If the Torah is just a rule book and you don't understand that it takes you to a higher level, then it's like a waste.
Put it like this.
You're just feeding the tree of knowledge.
And which is the most degrading thing in the world. Now, let's say like this. If there's a Rebbe that's in your life, and all you use from the Rebbe is to find out what time Shabbos comes in, it's the most degrading thing in the world. But that's how we are with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's so much about Yiddishkeit. And Purim wipes me out from that and makes me realize, wait a second, Shniyah Achat, the Kedusha of Purim, the Ora, the Torah, Zutora, takes me out of that. It's one day that I'm completely out of it. You know what's more terrifying than Purim? The day after Purim. The day after Purim. That, to me, is 2 days that terrify me the most. Not the day after Yom Kippur. Because Chazal already set it up that, like, you know, those, like, empty, clean days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, where I'm so busy with mitzvahs, and because I'm like a malach v'chulei. It's the day after Purim, the day after Tisha B'Av. Like looking at the world again, looking at people again, looking at myself again. What's changed? What's gone? Obviously, this year, that's going to happen. It's been happening every day. Someone called this week for an event on Yom HaTzma'ut. And I almost lost it on them. Like, it was. Thank God that I said, can you call me back later? Because they mean well, but it's an Eitz HaDa says, it's the right thing to just continue with the same Yom HaAtzmaut celebrations. That's Itz Hadas. Maybe right also. It's not Itz HaChaim. Itz HaChaim is protesting before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, the Torah of being thankful for what we have was worked and kept us alive for 75 years. It's not enough. The Itz HaChaim celebration of Yom HaAtzmaut this year has nothing to do with how high you could raise your flag. That's not what Chayalim have given their lives for. They've given their lives so that we could be physically and spiritually alive. And it's much deeper than that. It's much deeper than that. After Purim, I use my mind for all... Sorry, there should be... There's a typo here. After Purim, I use my mind for much more than good and evil, but for life itself. And that's why the day after Purim is like, it's like, okay, did this inyan stay with me? So the more there's a hachana in our mind that this Torah that we just learned, that this has to be part of your hizbodidus today. It has to be part of your mincha. It has to be part of the way you approach sholach manas, matanas, levyonim. The whole thing has to be part of when you're learning Masechta Megillah and then you're looking at the Gemaras. It has to show up in the way that you even understand how Chazal extracted the deepest secrets from every pasuk in Megillah. Look, just read a few blat in Masechta Megillah. I know the Chevra are in Chulin now because of the Siyum tomorrow.
They're about to finish in Megillah next week.
It's a beautiful, perfect time. Like, just take 20 minutes, open up any Gemara. Look how they darshan every word in the Megillah as a secret. Every single word. But it's all leading us to the same place. It's all leading us to Megillas Esther, revealing the hiddenness, to reveal the Sheker. The Sheker is not what the world thinks. That's beyond Sheker. The Sheker is thinking that the more knowledge that I know, the holier I am. That's Sheker. It's not true. Amalek wants you to think that. The emes lamito is the more knowledge that I know that brings me to be alive is the highest usage of Dvar Hashem in this world. It must be clear to us at a certain point in time that all paths are leading to a generation that will not stomach the same Torah of last door. They won't do it. The Torah of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah of Yiddishkeit, the way we gave over the Torah of Halacha, it has to be something that makes me feel alive. Alive. That's what the whole story of Purim is. And the most alive a person feels in this world is when they feel aligned and connected with who they're with their nature. That's how he started it. That's when I feel most alive. So therefore, I asked in the beginning, who's terrified of Purim? Because if I know that that's in the air, and I'm willing to, if I make it, I make it. If not, Hashem should have Rachmanis on me, take me out of that really, really dark place. Purim is the highest day in the world. Because I feel like Torah is like this. So I want to give us a bracha to march forward towards this anew Or Chadash al Tzion Ta'il Ayhudi Maisa Oira Hadar Kibluah B'Yimei. I was about to say B'Yimei Netanyahu. Hadar Kibluah B'Yimei. You know, V'Nafochu. Hadar Kibluah B'Yimei Candace Yimach Shema. Hadar Kibluah B'Yimei. Fill in the blanks, Chaver. There's plenty. It's our days. It's our time. V'sikvasam b'chol dor v'dor. There's a new hope today. There's a new hope today for Yeshua. It's new. Never was before. Hashem should give us the siyat d'shmaya to believe in this Torah and to go weiter and to beg Hashem every time I open a Gemara, every time I open anything, please Hashem, connect me to the life that's in these words and never, ever let me just be satiated by all the amount of knowledge that's in these words. It's got to take me back to quote another chevra, and we got to get ourselves back to the garden, but to the right tree this time. Amen. 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 Amen.